help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 420, the fourth verse. The Lord is great, his might untold, his chariots thousand, thousandfold, his armies near confounded. Among them God with joy displays the glory that in Moses' days Mount Sinai surrounded. When thou, O Lord, in glory bright, ascended in the heavenly height, our captive bonds to sever, rich gifts from those who did rebel, thou didst receive that men might dwell with thee, O Lord, forever. It is the fourth of 420. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, thereof the first chapter, the first 14 verses. But first let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Acts chapter 1, the first 14 verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Thus far, the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, may it be a wonder to each one of us in this evening that we are still in the time of grace in the land of the living, as a family among us stood around an open grave to entrust a little daughter into that earth to be that resting place until thou wilt return. And Lord, thou hast made a difference where there is no difference. because if thou hast dealt with us, each one of us, according to all our sins and iniquities, we all would have been called out of this life and cast away eternally. But Lord, again, that we may be in thy house in the time of grace, in the land of the living, and again may be under the means of grace that thou hast given, may we feel it, may we be humbled before thee, because we are sinful, unworthy of all thy blessings. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would come with thy Holy Spirit, because we can hear these things, we can see these things, and yet our hearts by nature are so hard as the nether millstone. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then that thou would give those new hearts, that thou would give hearts of flesh, hearts that begin to cry, to beg because of our sin, and beg for mercy, and that need forgiveness, that long to be reconciled with thee, to know that our life is not only in the hand of the Creator, but it's in the hand of that faithful God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come among us tonight with the presence of thy Holy Spirit, and blow mightily with the wind of the Spirit, that there would be true life. Oh, that thou would come by the power of the Holy Spirit and give new life to those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Tonight we may remember the ascension of that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, may we beg thee, thou who art that ascended, exalted Lord of lords and King of kings, that thou would be that interceding high priest, as thou hast also said in thy word, that thou wilt pray for those sheep that must be gathered in. Oh, may we beg thee among us, may there be many sheep, could it be the whole congregation, that thou art praying for, that thou would give life, and that they may be drawn unto thee and taught in that school of grace where we die to everything, and that thou becomes everything, that we need thee as that born Savior, as that perfect Savior, as that Savior who has righteousness to cover us, our rags of filthy righteousness, but also to need thee as that paying, as that satisfying one who gave his life to suffer and to die on the cross, to satisfy the justice, but also rose again and ascended into heaven. O Lord, we beg thee that thou would lead thy dear people more and more into the mysteries of the wonders of thy grace. O remember those who feel everything is so closed up. There's no entrance, there's no communion, and they see all their sins and all their iniquities. Oh, may they hear it tonight through thy word of that advocate, that righteous advocate at the right hand of the Father, and who is the propitiation for sins. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would richly bless thy precious word to the hearts and souls of poor and needy sinners. Oh, may there be a little food tonight, and that we may go home in joy because of thee, who thou art for wretched sinners. As we read in thy word that the disciples, after thou hast ascended into heaven, could return with joy. Oh, thou hast opened their understanding to see the wonders, the beauties, that their Savior, that their Lord and Savior ascended into heaven, blessing them, and that he did not take those hands in, but that he went up into heaven as that high priest, praying for them, blessing them. And oh, may we see the wonders, but also the beauties and the necessity of thou as that ascended high priest at the right hand of the Father. Lord, open thy word. Give a mouth to speak. Give a heart to preach. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances, and that everything else may be taken away, and that we may listen and speak, thus saith the Lord, and that we may hear. It's the Lord's word. It's the wonders of his grace that he is proclaiming unto us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give much prayer, rend the heavens, and come down among us with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. For, Lord, without thy grace, without thy Spirit, it's all empty. It's all custom, form. There will be no bowing, no dying to self, no adoration for thee, the one who is so worthy to be glorified and to be exalted to the highest. Lord, we lay before thee then the whole congregation. May we beg and ask thee to remember all those who are mourning, especially Devin and Joanna and their family. Comfort, Lord, with that only comfort. Remember those who are sick and afflicted, some who are in the hospital and could return home again. Remember them, help them, and bless the means that may be used, and may they see what a wonder it is, that they may yet be in the land of the living. But teach them and us through these callings that we must be prepared to meet thee, and that we have a great disease of sin, an incurable disease that no man can cure us of. But also teach us of him who is that balm in Gilead, of that great physician, of him who can save the chiefest of sinners. And we may read in thy word that he also went up into heaven to give gifts unto also the rebellious. Oh, may that become sweet unto poor, rebellious sinners, and that they may experience by thy grace those blessings that thou can only give in our hearts and in our lives through thee and through thee alone. Lord, we beg thee then, remember all thy servants throughout the world. Help each one to preach thy word. Help all the elders in the vacant congregation, and that tonight, throughout the world, that thy ascension may be meditated upon, and that thou would be honored and glorified. We pray and ask thee, Lord, then that thou would give tonight a good hour in thy house. Give what is needed to preach. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. Give much prayer. Give Aaron's and Ur's, Lord, among us, and that we may feel the Lord's presence, and that we may go home to say it was good to be here tonight because the Lord was among us. Lord, we deserve nothing, that thou would only send a famine of thy word because of all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. But oh, may we plead, and may we be given to plead, and taught to plead, and supplicate and cry because of him who is at thy right hand, whom thou hast exalted to the highest, and who hast placed at thy right hand. Oh, we beg this all, Lord, upon him, upon the name of that precious mediator, upon that advocate, that righteous advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 183, all four stanzas. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. Rich gifts to thee are offered by men who did rebel, who pray that now Jehovah, their God, with them may dwell. 183, all four stanzas in the collection for tonight is Ezra for Israel. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Beloved congregation, may I begin this evening with ask you a question. What think ye of Christ? That was a question of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to other men. We have heard that he was born. We have heard through the word of God of his perfect life, of his miracles, of his teaching. We heard of his suffering, of his death, of his resurrection. And now we may also hear of his ascension. Has he become necessary for you? Has he become suitable for you and your soul? Have you come to see by God's grace not only your filthiness, but the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ? But tonight, with the Lord's help, we would like to consider a little piece, a little aspect about the beauty of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. And then I read in the Lord's Day, in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, question and answer 49, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? And then we read, first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Why did they give this answer? Why did they say, first, that he is our advocate in the presence of our Father in heaven? Because the word of God itself expresses and testifies that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father as the advocate, as the righteous advocate for his beloved people. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, we will meditate on the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Where we read in the word of God, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And so the theme tonight, Jesus Christ ascended to be with the Father, and two thoughts: as the righteous advocate, and we see that in verse 1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and as the propitiation for sin. We read that in verse 2. And so he is with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. So the theme, Jesus Christ ascended to be with the Father as the righteous advocate and as the propitiation for sin. And so with the help of the Lord, the first thought, as the righteous advocate. May I ask you, do you need an advocate? Do you? You need an advocate. And now John begins in the first epistle, chapter 2, verse 1. And he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." John said in the previous chapter, and he's making it very clear, let there be no misunderstanding. Even though I have spoken of the reality of sin and the need to confess, there is no perfection. Understand that the goal, that the desire of the hearts of those who are recipients of true and sovereign grace, of a true Christian, is a life free from sin. And it's a truth that believers, that the recipients of God's grace, still fall into sin. They still live with a body of sin. But by the grace of God, that life planted in them, they begin to strive for a life of holiness. And God says in his word, be ye holy, for I am holy. And remember what Robert Murray McShane said? He had that prayer, Lord, make me as holy as a sinner can be. And they long for that. And they may learn of the wonders and the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. But to be brought entirely back home with the Father, that's something else. That's a deep truth, a profound beauty. And that's only by Christ ascending to be at the right hand of the Father that makes it possible for their homecoming. But we need to make a distinction. Because among us, there's a distinction. No, not male and female. But among us, we all have a name, sinner. But there's a distinction. There's a difference between the believers and the unbelievers in regards to sin. What is it? Well, an unbeliever still lives habitually in sin. That's his life. Dead in sins and trespasses, living in sin. But the recipients of grace, those who have that true saving faith, they fall into sin. But they cannot live habitually in sin. Their life is described in Romans 7. And so may I ask you, what is your condition? Are you habitually living in sin? Or are you fighting against sin? Do you love sin? Or do you grieve because of sin? All, without exception, are called to repent. All called to crucify the flesh, to flee from all sin. But in this verse, John is speaking to a specific people. He's speaking to little children. He's speaking to true believers. Little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And then the Apostle John continues, and he says, if any man sin, two little words, if and sin. What is John saying? If any man sin, is he saying that it's possible? Is he questioning whether those little children, if they will sin? No, to understand it correctly in the Greek, it's when they sin. It's not as we understand it, if they will sin, but he's saying, when they sin, little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and when any man sins. But he doesn't use the word plural for sin, he uses it singular. So he means specific and individual sin. When those little children, when those little lambs, when those little sheep, when the recipients of God's grace sin, a sin that they know. It's not vague. No, they know. They feel it. They feel the prick in their heart. Why is this important? John is not saying that it's possible that those true Christians will fall into sin, but he's saying when. When they fall into sin, when they fall into a specific sin that they feel in their hearts, a true Christian knows by the work of the Holy Spirit their sin. Does a Christian know all their sins? No. God knows the extent of all their sins. But John is speaking about when those little children, those true believers, when they fall into a sin, and if any man sin, when they feel it in their conscience, when their conscience is speaking, when they feel it in their heart, when they feel that pain, when they feel the guilt. And what happens often? Little lambs, little sheep, Satan attacks. He attacks. And he uses devices. Why? Because the last thing he wants those recipients to do at that moment is to confess their sins. He wants to hinder them from everything, from a sinner to ever confess their sins. He does everything to keep them from doing that. And what does he speak? What does he say? First, he might say, that's sin? That's just a little one. That's not so important. Or he says, that sin, that's way too big. You think there's forgiveness for that sin? Or that sin? You did it so many times already. You confessed it last week. You did it so many times in your life. You think there's hope for you who continually do the same sin in your thoughts, in your words, or in your desires? Or he says, you think you're a child of God? If you were a true believer, if you were a true recipient of grace, you would not commit such a sin. You cannot be a recipient of grace. And what happens? What happens, little lambs, sheep? What do? We listen to him. We agree with him. We agree with him. Instead of fleeing from him and immediately confessing our sin and seeking forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ, we listen. And then what happens? It becomes darker and darker in our lives. And we become so discouraged. What are you to do immediately, you? Yes, actually, all of us. What are you to do immediately when you commit sin? Confess it. But especially you, little lamb, sheep, what are you to do immediately when you feel you have sinned again? Immediately, you're called to confess it. And remember, John is writing this epistle. His purpose is so that they that know Jesus Christ may know they know him and that they may live in the joy of the salvation. Is there joy when you sin? Well, for an unconverted one, they don't feel it. And they love sin. And there's pleasure in sin. They think it's joy, but it leads to death. But what about you? You were pricked in the heart. You were a recipient of grace. Is there joy in sin? No, there's no joy. Is there joy in covering or hiding sin? No, there's no joy. Is there joy in unbelief, in the gospel, in the hope of forgiveness, in the blood of Jesus Christ? No. What is the way to true joy? Well, it's what John wrote in 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so John is saying, dear recipient of God's grace, dear little lamb, dear child of God, as soon as you feel a sinful thought, a desire, an affection, or as soon as you do a sinful deed, immediately confess it. Go on your knees and pour out your heart to the Lord. Confess your sin. Seek forgiveness in that only Savior, Jesus Christ. And Satan will do everything. Everything. He can't take you out of the hands of that faithful Father and that almighty Savior, but he will do everything to destroy the joy of salvation. And he longs to have those little sheep just so discouraged, in despair and in darkness. He doesn't want them to live in the joy. He doesn't want them to live in the peace. He doesn't want to live in the communion. Because when they really may live by God's grace in them, what happens in their hearts? Then their hearts are filled with adoration. And so, dear recipients of grace, children of God, when you sin, you are to immediately confess your sin to the Lord and seek forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And John gives more instruction, because we read in 1 John 2 verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so he instructs, the moment you are aware of your sin, consider someone. Consider who. Who does he want to direct? John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. To write this to those little children so that they would focus on whom? On their self? No. But they would focus on the ascended Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. It's a blessing to be able to read the Word of God and to see by grace there is a Savior. What beauties. It's beneficial to meditate upon the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his life, of his miracles, of his teachings, of suffering, death. What wonders of God's grace, because the cross of Christ is the foundation of salvation. But we also must learn, Church of God, not only to look at all those blessings, but also to look up. To look up to that ascended Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that exalted Savior, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And this is the focus of this text. It's the focus that those little children, little lambs, sheep, the children of God, recipients of grace. And yes, we're all called to look up, but especially them. Church of God, you're to be like a little sunflower. You say, what? A sunflower? What does a sunflower do, children? A sunflower in the morning is facing the east. And it's amazing. That sunflower follows the sun to the west. And during the night, it goes back to the east, waiting for the sun to rise. We are called to be like a sunflower. No, not looking at the sun with a U, but to be looking up to the sun, that Savior, that exalted Lord Jesus Christ. And so, John gives instruction, when you sin, consider the advocate at the right hand of the Father. Look up, look away from self. Look to the place where is that only forgiveness of sins. Look to that Savior, to him and to him alone. He went to heaven with his arms stretched out, blessing his people. And we never heard that those arms came in. And so it speaks. No, not literally. It speaks that he's still praying, that he's still blessing his church. And because of Jesus Christ, because of his merits, God the Father is able, is willing, and has the power to forgive all sin. Because that blood of Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse from all sin. Even a sin that is committed again, that you may fall into. Again, I have that wicked desire. Again, I have that wicked thought. Again, I have that filthy affection in my heart. I like to quote a few verses. Please listen. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. How is this possible? It's because of him, that advocate at the right hand of the Father. We read in Psalm 130, verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And one more, Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, my little children, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What a statement. What a glorious statement for the Church of God. Let us now consider for a moment who that ascended Savior is as that advocate at the right hand of the Father. What's an advocate, children? Do you know? What's an advocate? We could say in simple words, a lawyer. A lawyer. One who comforts and helps. The lawyer speaks on behalf of his client. He does everything for his client. And now we read, an advocate with the Father. This describes the Lord Jesus Christ. What he is doing for his church. Yes, what he's doing for you, you poor, wretched sinner, recipient of grace, child of God. He is your lawyer. He is that comforter at the right hand of the Father. He is speaking on your behalf to the Father. Jesus Christ is representing all his sheep, all whom his Father has given him. Is not this a wonder? Is this not a comfort? Or do you not need an advocate? Have you not learned your need of an advocate, that you need an advocate, that you need an interceder at the right hand of the Father? And now Jesus Christ is the advocate. We think of a lawyer. What does a good lawyer do? A good lawyer needs to know his client. He needs to know him very well. And he's committed to speak to them. And the more he can know them, the more he can represent them in the court for them. And this lawyer, this earthly lawyer, he will do everything for his client because he was hired by him, paid by him. He will do everything to argue in his client's favor. To do what? That he would be dismissed from all charges. He will do his utmost. But this is where the comparison between an earthly lawyer and an advocate at the right hand of the Father ends. Jesus Christ also knows those whom he represents. He's the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep. He knows them perfectly. Perfectly. A lawyer on the earth will do his utmost to declare the innocent of his client. And they often plead not guilty, trying to give any reasonable doubt. But now I think of that advocate at the right hand of the Father. Does he try to prove those whom he represents of their innocence? No, because they're not innocent. They don't plead innocent. He doesn't present them as innocent. Not at all. They plead guilty. And he is there to represent them as guilty, lost, polluted, wretched sheep. Jesus, as the lawyer, as an advocate, he confesses guilty. Father, they're guilty. They're all guilty. How does he then comfort them? As an advocate at the right hand of the Father, as the lawyer representing them, what does he plead upon? There's nothing in those sheep. There's nothing in those clients. May I say it that way? There's nothing. All that he can represent on their behalf, it's all sin, 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 and sin still flows out of them. What does he plead upon? That lawyer on earth, he tries to find all different pieces of evidence to give a reasonable doubt of the innocence. But Jesus Christ pleads guilty. But what does he plead upon? He pleads upon his own merits. He pleads upon his righteousness, that he has kept the law perfectly. He presents his righteousness to the Father. He presents his blood, that payment. And so, little children, tonight, when we consider that advocate of the right hand of the Father, look up. May you listen. May you hear. May you see it. He's pleading for you. What a wonder. He's pleading for you on nothing in you, but he's pleading upon his own merits, upon his blood, upon his righteousness. May I say it? He shows his Father his scarred hands. He shows him his wounded side, his scarred feet, and maybe also those scars on his head. He presents his own merits, his sacrifice. And that is a sure pleading ground. That's a place where the Father hears, because that is the place where the Father is satisfied. And he may say, Father, I've paid for that sheep. I've paid for him. I'm the ransom. I'm the ransom that was found. I've paid. Father, that sheep, he needs to go free. He needs to receive those blessings. He needs to come home. Yes, he's praying for his sheep to come home. He's longing, as we read in John 17, verse 44, 24. A lawyer, when representing his client, stands before the judge or the jury. He stands facing them because he represents. He doesn't stand facing his client. No, he stands to those who have the accusations against his client. And now we read a little word in this text. We read, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with a little word. But that's so beautiful. That word shows that Jesus Christ, he ascended at the right hand of the Father. He's with the Father. the very God that we have offended, that we have offended with our sin, he stands before him. That God who says, pay me all that thou owest. That God who says, I made you perfect. You need to be perfect. That God who says, I gave my law and you have transgressed against it all. And he stands before that. All those accusations. And he stands there as that advocate to present, to plead upon himself, upon his merits, upon his blood, upon his righteousness. Jesus Christ, so to speak, is face to face with the Father for his sheep. Oh, that we may see it. Oh, that we may know it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because then tonight, poor wretched sinner, you would really go home with joy in your heart as those disciples went home. Home. They went home with joy. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, they were so filled with sorrow. But now Jesus left them again to go to his home, to be that advocate at the right hand of the Father. And then I think of Moses, that high priest. He represented the people. He interceded for them. And we can think of that many times. He pleaded, Lord, don't destroy them. But Jesus Christ, he is that great high priest. He went into the heaven to be the interceding high priest. He's the advocate with the Father, interceding, pleading upon his own merits. We have an advocate with whom? We don't read, we have an advocate with God, but John wrote, we have an advocate with the Father. This means that through the work of Jesus Christ, sinners are brought back to the heart of God the Father. They're brought back home in Christ. Remember what Lord Jesus said to Mary in John 20, verse 17? But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And so the Lord is saying, my dear sheep, even though you have sinned again and again and again, and you're grieved about it, you fear, but look up. Look up. Look up to that advocate. Look up to that advocate with the Father. Look up to him. See in him. See in him that one that represents you. Live in him. Depend upon him. Live in that glory of the gospel, that he's the advocate for wretched sinners. God the Father, through him, can look upon you and he can say, my beloved son, because of him. But who is that advocate? We read Jesus Christ the righteous. Have you ever needed a lawyer? When someone needs a lawyer, they look for the best lawyer. They want someone to represent. They want to look. They want to know, what's his credentials? I want an excellent lawyer to represent me. And here, may I say it reverently, we have most excellent credentials of the best, glorious advocate ever. Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus. That means Jehovah saves. Christ, he's the anointed one. He has power and he's righteous. He's pure. He's clean. He's perfect. What an advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous with the Father. What an advocate. What a one who stands in the place to intercede for wretched sinners. We read in Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, the rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And when is he making intercession? Sometimes? No, always. Hebrews 7, verse 25, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ, that righteous advocate, is at the right hand of the Father. And he is interceding as an advocate continually, presenting to his Father his merits. What a precious advocate. Let us sing now. From Psalter 302, all three stanzas standing. Psalter 302, all three stanzas standing. The Lord unto his Christ had said, in glory I enthrone thee. To all thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign king shall own thee. From Zion shall Jehovah send thy scepter, till before thee bend the knees of proud rebellion. Psalter 302, all three stanzas.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ ascended to be with the Father as the righteous advocate, but also as the propitiation for sins. We read in 1 John 2, verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We also read in 1 John 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does this mean? What is the Lord telling us through his servant, the Apostle John? So first, what does that big word propitiation mean? It is a foundation word of the gospel, like atonement, justification. Propitiation means to satisfy, to appease, to bring peace, to take away wrath, and gain the favor of someone who's infinitely offended, especially of a king or a deity. Propitiation, or appeasing wrath, or taking away the wrath, or gaining the favor, was done especially by a sacrifice. We see example of the explanation of this word in the example in the book of Esther. Remember? There was that law against the Jews, and Haman wanted to kill all the Jews, and Esther went to the king, Ahasuerus, and she spoke to him and told him. And then that king left and he went out. And then Haman laid upon that bed by Esther and was begging for his life. And now that king came back and his wrath was so stirred up. He was absolutely furious. Not only about the decree, but now he also thought, and now is he going to force himself upon the queen? And what pacified? What took away the wrath of the king? Well, we read in Esther 7, verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Now in the Bible, propitiation is used regarding appeasing or gaining the favor of God, of that almighty, high, majestic being in heaven, who we offended to his very heart and being with our sin. He who's infinite, infinite holy, infinite love, but also infinite in wrath. And so what sacrifice? There needs to be a sacrifice. What sacrifice can appease the infinite wrath of an infinite, holy, and just God? Children, we read through the Old Testament all those animals that were sacrificed, and God's wrath was not satisfied. And we read in one of the prophets, even if I gave my own firstborn son, not satisfied. How or what can satisfy the infinite wrath of an infinite holy God? What sacrifice? There's only one. And that's by that God-man hanging on the cross. By Jesus Christ. He who came in the flesh. Who came upon this earth. Willing to be made sin. Who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That righteous advocate. Jesus Christ gave the only sacrifice. He gave himself, he who is God and man, because his sacrifice had infinite power, infinite value, and satisfied the infinite wrath of an infinite holy God. The word propitiation points us, congregation, to the effect that the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ had on the Father. God the Father looked upon all those sacrifices. He wasn't pleased. But then he gave his son. But he looked upon his beloved son making that sacrifice. And what was the effect? What was the effect on God? God's wrath was appeased. It was quenched. It was satisfied. We read this, for example, in Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And now John writes, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And so Jesus Christ, he went into heaven. He ascended. May I say, he went into the holies of holies. Moses. No. The high priest. Yes, he went into the holies of holies once on the Day of Atonement. And he brought the blood of the sacrifice with him. With him. But Jesus Christ, he brought, may I say it, his own sacrifice. The propitiation he made. He brought it with him. At the right hand of the Father. And the Father is satisfied. Satisfied. What did Jesus accomplish? God's wrath was taken away. He drank the cup. The cup that was filled with wrath of the Father. He drank it. He drank it to the last dreg. He emptied it. And I believe it was Thomas Watson said, now the cup is not empty, but that cup is overflowing with mercy and grace. Why? Because the Father is satisfied. Jesus Christ made the propitiation with the sacrifice. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And he pleads upon his propitiation, upon his sacrifice. He has done a complete work for complete lost sinners. And he did that finished work on the earth. But he ascended into heaven to continue. No, not to satisfy, to gain salvation. But he's there praying, interceding for his people, for his sinful people that need a praying and a thanking and an interceding high priest continually for them. But he's also there, you who are still lost, still lost. He's there. He's praying for those other sheep that are not yet born again, those other sheep that are still under that seal of election, still dead in sins and trespass. And so you may also cry. You may cry unto him. I heard tonight in God's house that there is one praying. And he prayed and he is praying. And you may beg him, Lord, may I be included. May I be included in that blessed work of that blessed Savior, that he would pray for me. Because if he prays for me, the Father will hear, and he will send his Spirit, and I will be renewed. Oh, beg him then, have no rest until you may rest in him. Congregation, I need to end. I need to end. May you be given to look up, to look up unto the ascended Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. May you go home and meditate upon that advocate, that righteous advocate who went into heaven. And there he went, and he has the propitiation that he merited upon earth. And you may beg him, Lord, be thou my advocate. Be that one at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Almighty, eternal, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, wilt thou richly bless thy word, a few words, poor words. But Lord, thou hast said, it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg thee, then give blessings that thou only can give to poor and needy sinners. Oh, wilt thou draw sinners to look up unto thee, to know thee, to see the beauties of not only a born Savior, of a suffering Savior, of a Savior who paid and satisfied the justice of God, but who is also interceding and praying. O Lord, we beg thee then, remember each one, prepare us to meet thee, and may we ask thee to give strength, to give health, and that we may again come into thy house on thy day to hear thy precious word. Lord, do above all that we can think and ask. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 439, stanzas 3. 439, stanzas 3. Whom have I, Lord, but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. But thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for thee my troubled heart is burning. Though flesh should faint and heart should break, thou art my rock that naught can shake. In life, in death, thou art my stay, my strength, my portion, Lord, for aye. 439, stanzas 3.
Thank you.
Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.